good to be back. We won't delay any time. I want you to turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Glad to see my friend Isaac here and my daughters and granddaughters. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would touch us all as we go into your word and strengthen us, guide us, and keep us. Bless these lips of clay as they go into your word. And we pray that the nuggets that you will give to us that will help those that are here today and who are on the internet and through all of the various forms of communication, that they receive this word and would let them be willing to hear the word in an objective manner. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The text, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Verse 4 and 7, I'm sorry. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And from that text, we're going to go into the Word today. The text that we see here concerns the Apostle Paul. He states that he was finished with his course. What exactly was Paul speaking of? Is he speaking of this course with Gamaliel, whom he spent years with, or some course of his past being? Being a good Pharisee, Paul was very well versed in the law. He came out of the law, as well as many other subjects, to better answer the questions we ought to take a look and start to see exactly what does Paul mean that he's finish his course. The term or the word course means an onward movement. Several definitions that I'll just relate to you shortly. A direction taken in any form. A process or a method or a path. A number of things arranged in a certain order that must be completed for the final summation. Series of subjects to finish a degree or a diploma or some course that you've taken. But the Greek word here means dromos, which is a race course. Paul was speaking here specifically, I think, of a career that he has had or was given by God to proceed on. The Bible lets us know that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, let everything be done decently and in order. Paul's course was given to him that he had. Let's take a look at some of the things that we are talking about here. The Apostle Paul in the early years was born in Tarsus. He had Roman citizenship. He could speak Hebrew and Greek. He was a very learned man. He came out of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He was one who had many things going for him. This man of the law was very zealous. He was one who knew the law, studied the law, one who thought he lived the law. Like I said, like he thought he lived the law. He was a rising star in the Pharisees. He was wealthy and getting richer every day because he was determined to stamp out this new religion called the Way. It was his goal and motivation to set it aside. It was determined that he was going to wipe out this way or this new religion. And he was on course, he thought, to do it. He wanted to break up this religion because it was causing chaos in the law or what they were accustomed to. Paul was vindictive, and he meant to wear this out. Times were good and they were getting better. This religion called the law, the Way, had to be destroyed because it wasn't God's way, he thought. It was something that was an anathema to God to have us to worship this way. It was only going to be, Paul thought that it had to be the law and nothing but the law. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. Sometimes we like that. We really believe what we're doing is right, but it's wrong. Paul was that way, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, Hebrew of the Hebrews, but he was wrong. And what we see is that Jesus meant nothing to Paul. Paul didn't think much of Jesus or his followers. And as far as he was concerned, the whole thing had to be destroyed. If he made them blaspheme, put them in jail, had them killed, he didn't matter. The point of it was that it had to be destroyed. And he didn't think anything about, he wasn't interested and concerned about anything that supposedly transpired or was being the changes that were going on. To him, it meant nothing. Then, let's take a look at this segment here, the call. And our designated reader is our pastor, and I want him to read Acts chapter 9 and verse 1.
Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Want it from the King James or the Greek?
Go to the King James and then do the Greek.
And saw yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest.
Read verse 2 also.
And desired of him led us to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem.
Okay. From the Greek?
From the Greek text, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threatening, and murder against the disciples of the Lord, approaching to the high priest, asked from him letters to the masses for the synagogues, so as if any he found of the way being both men and women, having been bound, he might bring to Jerusalem.
Okay, what we see here is that Paul had what he thought was his agenda. His agenda was that he was going to go to Damascus and break up this thing of faith, what he called the Way. And he arose and he went, And well, something happened to Paul. You see, the Jewish faith, or the way that God deals with the Jews, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says, the Jews require a sign. And Paul was a Jew. And Paul was not going to be thinking about what somebody told him or anything like that. He didn't care who they were. It had to be a sign from God. He wasn't, don't come talking to those Jews, especially Paul, about what you think. Because they require a sign. Okay? So in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, let's see, well, this was 9 and verse 9 and 11. Wait, no, we want to go back up here. He says in verse 9 and 4, read that, Pastor.
Acts chapter 9, verse 4.
Well, start at 3.
Verse 3, Acts chapter 9. And as he journeyed, came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Okay.
And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest.
You can stop right there because the others started in the original Greek. And go read that in the Greek now, please. 4, 5, and 6 in the Greek, please.
4, 5, and 6 from the Greek text. Acts chapter 9.
9 and 3, I'm sorry. 3 through 6.
Verse 3. And now it came to pass him to draw near to Damascus. And suddenly him shone round a light out of heaven. And falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why me persecutest thou? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.
Amen. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Okay, so what we have here is that we have what's called, we're going to call it Paul's call into the ministry and the course that God had laid out for him before the foundation of the world that Paul was not aware of. Paul had his agenda that he thought. But think about it is, we don't think anybody's got an agenda at all. We don't think, especially God, we don't think God has an agenda. But God's agenda was that he was going to use Paul specifically, and we're going to go into that. We're going to go over here now to verse 15 from the King James, Pastor. Would you read that for me, please?
Acts chapter 9, verse 15 from King James?
Yes, King James.
Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
16.
For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
So what we see here is that the course that Paul had planned for himself, things started to change when God called him specifically for a task. We need to keep that in mind as we go into the text because we have many, many plans of our own.
Right.
But the thing is, God has a plan too.
Right.
And God's plan is the plan that we have to adhere to.
Right.
Because we really have no power ourselves. We think we do, but we don't have any power. Paul's specific ministry was given to him by God, and so it was confirmed by a sign, and the sign was that Paul was blinded. He was blinded because the Jews require a sign. And he was there. He was blinded for 3 days. And he had to go and meet this man, Ananias. And Ananias was scared and didn't want to have anything to do with him because of the reputation that Paul had. But the thing about it is, God can deal with your reputations. Your reputation don't mean a thing to God.
Yes.
You think that you're really big and bad and everything. God can put you in your place.
Yes.
God had to bring Paul down to the level that he wanted him to be. And he had to use him because he knew that as long as Paul was haughty and thought he was doing everything, God had to level him down to where he could use him. That's how he has to do us. That's how he has to do us. You know, we really get just give us a few material things and a title, and we get our head get big. You can't tell us nothing, and God has to level us down and bring us down, because you see, we just don't want to follow God like we're supposed to, and God has to bring us down to where He can use us, and He can't use you in a way where you walking all strong and big and you're strutting everything.
Right.
He has to bring you down where He can be used.
Right.
So he has to bring Paul down. So the confirmation sign was Paul was blind for 3 days. And then what Paul does is that God touches him. And then what do we see? We see that when Paul gets baptized, he arose and he was baptized. And he was baptized in the kingdom gospel. That's what he was dealing with then, because it was the disciples were the ones carrying on the kingdom message. Paul was brought in under the kingdom message. And that's the only thing that Paul knew, because that was what that was going on at the time. But Paul had something, God had a specific purpose for Paul. Specific purpose. Okay. Now when he gets saved and gets, he wants to go and preach to the Jews instead of preach to the people, and instead of destroying the churches, he wanted to preach in the churches and preaching to the Jews and everything. But that was God's method for him right now. You see, he had a lot of zeal, but it was in the wrong direction, because God had to channel him in the way that he wanted him to go. You know, sometimes we get I'm always kind of suspicious of people who come in and they're like what I call it Alka-Seltzer Christians. They come in, they're all bubbly and everything, and you know they're there, but just there for just a few weeks or days, and then they start to flatten out, and then the fizz is gone, and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. Oh, you don't hear me. You ought to talk to me today, because that's how a lot of folks are. But what we deal is, now, let's take a look at where Paul was when he came on the scene. The major gospel was the kingdom message. Okay, it was the forerunner was John the Baptist, who preached the message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what the message was. Then Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus preached the message also. And he was baptized by John the Baptist, and he preached the message that the kingdom, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And because the Jews require sign, Jesus did many, 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 many miracles, far more than what we see here in the text here, miracle after miracle after miracle, because the Jews require a sign. And so what we have is that he preached the kingdom message, and that was what it was at the time. Now let's get some things straight, first of all. The kingdom message was for the Jews and the Jews only. It was not for the Gentiles. Jesus did not come to the Gentiles. Do you hear what I'm saying? He came to the Jews. He was prophet, priest, and king. He came to preach to the Jews, because that was what was promised. He promised Abraham 12:7 in Genesis there would be a land. He promised him in Isaiah 9:7 that there would be a king, and that's what we're looking at. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. And they came and he preached to the Jews. It was not to the Gentiles. It was filled with signs, wonders, and miracles. The kingdom message is earthbound.
Right.
It was given to them, and the only thing that the Jew can think about or see is the things that are here on earth.
Right.
It is not a message that Paul was going to be given.
Mm-hmm.
It was a message that was given to the 12 disciples. It's awfully quiet in here. It was earthbound, and it was a sign for the Jews to become a nation.
And it, God's role for them was to become a nation, a holy nation, a peculiar nation. That was to be what? Going to be a priest to the Gentiles to bring them into the fold. That was a plan. And that's why God, Jesus came. Okay? Paul's ministry was entirely different. Now we're going to get to, initially he went to the Jews. But that wasn't going to work. The Jews didn't want it. They didn't hear Jesus. They weren't going to hear him. Get what kind of signs, anything he had, they weren't going to listen to him. Amen? Paul's ministry was a grace ministry. And that ministry was, now we see, preacher, we're talking about, grace, what kind of ministry was the Jews under? They were under the law, and the law was a works economy. If you do what you were supposed to, you'd be blessed. If you didn't do what you were supposed to, you would be what? Cursed. 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. We don't have time to go to it now, but that's what it was. Okay? So what we see here is that Paul's message was entirely different. It was a grace message given to him by God. And what was the grace message? It was the heaven, angels, demons, Satan, anybody else knew anything about the message.
Amen.
That Paul was given. Except God gave it to him. Nobody else knew about it. It was hidden from everybody.
Yes.
Nobody knew anything about it. This message had nothing to do with anything on earth. It was based, if we go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, in which we're going to go to, it was a spiritual message. It was a spiritual, everything was spiritual. And we're going to go there in just a second. Amen? First, and then this message was different in that it was letting us know that we have been all been baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit, were we all baptized, not are baptized. This was something that was done in eternity.
Yes.
The eternity by God. It was the actuation was done in eternity,
yes.
And then the other things are manifested in time.
Yes.
Amen. Everything was done in eternity. Everything that God did was in eternity. The actuation was in eternity, but the manifestation was in time. When you got saved, for me it was in 1957. I didn't know any better. I thought that that's when I got saved. But actually I got saved back in eternity. But the manifestation came in 1957. You don't hear what I'm talking about. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us we are one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And he's certainly not talking about water. This was something that was done by God back in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with water, because water was for the kingdom message.
Yes.
Something, the kingdom message is what you can see, feel, touch, hear, smell.
Mm-hmm.
The grace message is not like that. It's not like that at all. The kingdom message is something what you got to see,
mm-hmm.
got to feel, you got to touch,
mm-hmm.
in order for it to be applicable to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still preaching the kingdom message today.
Yes,
when we should be in the grace message.
Yes.
The kingdom message is gone. But the grace message is what we are in today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how much you, many people you bring down and how many tongues they speak. And how many people you baptize in water and all that stuff. That is not the message for today. The message for today is by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. And it's not your faith that saves you. It's the faithfulness of Christ. You have no faith. How is somebody depraved and wicked going to have faith to come to God? It's the work that God does for you to bring you to Christ. You don't hear me. We go on over here. This has some points about the grace message. The grace message, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It includes the Jews and the Gentiles. All of the people that God has saved before the foundation of the world is in the grace message. That's who the ones that are called. And Acts 13:48, those who are ordained to be saved, that's the one he calls to be saved. Nobody else to save but the ones that God called. You can will all you want to, but in your depraved mind, until God brings you here, you're not saved. The Bible says in John 6:44, no man can come unless the Spirit of God draws him. And in the Greek, that means drag. Because you want to be stale in your way, and God has to drag you in because of something that he actuated in eternity and he manifests in time. So what do we see here? The second thing revealed to the Apostle Paul was that Paul got this on the desert for 3 years in Arabia. And this dispensation of grace was given to the Apostle Paul. Amen. It was a spiritual dispensation. And this is what gets me is that we, let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I am so glad that I have been exposed to the grace message.
Amen.
I don't know what to do.
Amen,
I thank God for him placing that old Caucasian man, and we don't know any man by the color anymore, but that man, that day in 1975, when he talked to me, and he was I was hot-headed, and I was, but he just took his time and went through the scriptures with me, and you know what? I left there. I said, man, it's crazy. What are you talking about? Don't have to be baptized and all this crazy stuff. Man, you got to be crazy. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, please. Pastor.
Ephesians 1 and 3 for the King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, which has places in Christ.
Let's go into Greek, please, on that.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 from the Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual.
Just hold it right there. Having blessed us. Having blessed us. It's already been done. You've got the blessings. Spiritual blessings. Now that doesn't mean much to us today, you know, because if you don't have a BMW and a vice president and a big house and everything and your kids at Harvard or Yale or something like that, you don't feel like you haven't been blessed. But the fact of the matter is, you're blessed more than ever. You're blessed with heavenly blessings. Spiritual, it's a spiritual thing. That's more important. Because the book of Timothy tells us, we came here with nothing, we leave with nothing. Everything that we got in this life is on lease. I'm breathing in, but if I stop breathing, just stop just for a second, I'll fall over and die right now. Everything here is on lease. We own nothing. We think we do, but we own nothing. That house that I've got over there, and the cars that my wife and I have, and the clothes and everything, somebody else is going to get it. And when they die, somebody's going to get it again. It'll be right. It's recycled. Everything is recycled. You own nothing. Amen. You come here with nothing, you leave with nothing. And you know that's hard for us to get. It's hard for us. We can't stand that. We just can't stand it. We just got to feel like we got to have. You don't own nothing. This dispensation of grace is spiritual dispensation.
Amen.
Amen. What's some of the points about it? Well, first of all, you said, well, if it's spiritual, then what do you mean? Well, this is something we can relate to. Bible says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I mean simply that everything that God has,
everything,
I'm an heir and a joint heir with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I love, Pastor, I love to watch that program, The Universe, out there, and everything out there is just, and I think about all of the different things that are out there, and I'm an heir of it, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Wherever God is, that's where I will be. throughout all eternity. And that's better than any Cadillac, better than any BMW, or better than any 4,000 square foot house or anything. As long as I got Jesus, I got everything. You don't hear me. Everything. I don't need nothing else. If I got Jesus, I got it all. And the thing about it is, I don't have Jesus. He's got me. I can't go anywhere, anywhere. He got me before the foundation of the world. You don't hear me. It's time for us to stop being ashamed and say we of Christ. Well, yeah, I kind of worship it. You ought to know that Jesus is the creator of the world, the savior of the world. And you don't have to break, you don't have to back up to nobody. All of this mess going on now and everything, you're going to be ashamed of Jesus? Everything going down, volcanoes, hurricanes, and everything, and it's coming right to this country, and it's coming right to Michigan. You put all this faith in this mess you got, let me tell you, honey, it's coming right here. And you better be thankful for what you got, because the time is coming, it's going to get tough. It's going to get real tight. Amen? Let me go on. That's the difference. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is what I like about the grace message also. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Henceforth be no man after the flesh. I am so sick and tired of all of this ethnicity and everything, but one of these days I'll just be a member of the body of Christ. I won't have to carry this old robe of raggedy dirt around with me forever. I'll be in Christ throughout all eternity. It'll be a spiritual relationship. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Anybody can understand that. Everything, you don't go by what you know or anything. It's, well, if you're this certain persuasion, that certain persuasion, you get the job. But in Christ, we are all a member of the body of Christ, my God. Israel was God's earthly people. And the best thing that can ever be with Israel is be on earth throughout all eternity. But we're with Christ throughout all eternity. Wherever God will be, that's where we will be. And God is everywhere. The little bit of suffering that we go with, the light affliction that we go here just for a moment. But my God, what God has planned for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 that eyes have not seen or ears heard the things that God did for them that love him. And I love Jesus. I fail every day. This flesh does. But my man on the inside of me, God witnessed to my spirit every day. But this old fellow on the outside, the Bible says put no faith in the flesh. Don't put any faith in the flesh. There's nothing good about the flesh. There's nothing clean about the flesh. There is nothing desirable about the flesh. Nothing. And one of these days, for us to see God, this flesh has got to be destroyed. It's got to come off. Not dissolved, destroyed. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians the 15th, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's got to come off. And that way we'll go to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Amen. It was actually, and so, what are the benefits? Well, to be with God eternally, we'll have His nature. That's the thing that gets me. Be able to have the nature of God, to have the righteousness of God. I mean, it's not the right, the feigned righteousness what we want to try to show people about we situation ethics. We won't have that anymore. We'll have the true nature of God. Amen? And so, we'll have a glorified body. A body for the King of Glory that He has given us. Amen. Some of the points of grace is that we got to remember is that The first thing is that we serve a sovereign God. God is sovereign. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Far as heaven is above the earth, so are my ways against your ways. We don't have ways that please God. We are eternally in this state of this sinful way that God has to deal with us his way. Because if it was left up to us, thank God it's not. I wouldn't want to see myself in my old way. You don't want to see yourself in your old way. I want to see myself in God and growing closer and closer to him day by day. And I don't want to get to a point where I'm judging everybody because except for the grace of God, there goes that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to be able to just grow with him.
Yes.
But we have to remember that that the sovereignty of God, he lets us know in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, 11th through the 27th verse, and God can save who he wants. God does save who he wants. It's not left up to us. It's up to him. Everything is about God. Nothing about us. Amen. And then we have election. God elected us to be saved before the foundation of the world. Lord, that time, that clock is running, and I got so much to get through that I'm going to try my best to get through it. So, but the clock is running. Amen. But we have election. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. God elected us to salvation, saved us before we knew anything. Back in eternity. Can you imagine him saving Deacon Gavin back in eternity? Pastor Cutler back in eternity, and oh, sorry, me back in eternity. Can you imagine that?
Amen.
I don't want to mention anybody else's name because y'all are too good. Y'all so. But here, I don't want to my name. But we all were saved back in eternity. Amen. And actuated in time. Amen. The faith that he gives us, God gives us the faith. We have no faith. It's the faithfulness of Christ that saves us. Amen. And it was foreordination. It was determined by God who you would be and what your course would be. You had nothing to do with it. I remember when I met my wife in 1968, and I just saw her, and she was 95 pounds, and I was 100. I weighed a little bit more. Not much, maybe 125 pounds. Soaking wet, and my wife weighed 95 pounds, and I thought she was the cutest little thing, and I went over and started talking to her. But God had planned that back in eternity. Amen. I didn't have anything to do with that. Amen. And the kids that we had and everything, God is one who puts us here. He gives us the parents that we have.
That's right.
Everything that we have is because what God has ordained back in eternity. You say, well, I had a tough life and everything, but that was the course that God designed for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You have, and just be thankful that you're in God's presence now.
Yeah.
Amen. But everything in this life, from the hairs on your head, how many there are, God, the Bible lets us know that he knows, even knows the number of hairs on our head. Everything about us, everything is determined by God in eternity. You have no choice. We don't want it. Well, that makes me a robot. The Creator does whatever he wants with the creature.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So that's how it is. We're going to have a glorified body. He gives us imputation, justification, propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, righteousness. God's righteousness, not our own righteousness. I'm just trying to give you the points about what the beauty of the grace message. You're going around here in the kingdom message, and you know what? You're going doing the same thing over and over and over. You're going to lines, you're speaking in tongues 4 or 5 times, you're getting baptized 3 or 4 times, and you're going to this church or that church. It's all about what the tradition of men. Why don't you go where God has given you the direction to go and go there?
Yeah.
gives us salvation, sanctification. He sets us aside for Him, for Himself. We're bought with a price. And that price is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My, 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 what a wonderful God we serve. He looks out for us all the way through. All the way through. From the time He called us back in eternity until the time we go home. You have a body right now waiting for you in heaven. Right now. It's waiting for you. The Bible says, and as it is appointed, the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. And death is relief from this wicked world that we're in. We go to be with the Lord. And that's where we will be throughout all eternity. Actually, I'm going to say something now. You're going to get angry with me. But actually, your death has already taken place. Just hasn't been manifested yet. Your funeral and everything is taking place already. Everything has been done. All the lies is going to be told at your funeral. And everything else has already been done. Amen? Because we hear more lies than anything at funerals anyway. I didn't believe in saying it was the truth. But it's all been done. It just hasn't been manifested. Amen? And then we look at another thing that we want to take a look at here is the perseverance of the saints. God doesn't save you in segments. You know, you got to go through this step, that step, and do this and do that. He saved you once, and He saved you once, and that was for all. Well, you said about that. Well, they're saved, but they're not filled with the Spirit. How you? What kind of crazy mess is that? Come on. Well, He's saved, but He hasn't spoken until. So He hasn't spoken. What is that? That's crazy. Only man can think. Only depraved man can think of something like that. But let's take a look at what God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. Just a prelude before the pastor I'm coming to read that. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but every law student in Harvard University has to write a thesis on Romans 8. He can't graduate until he writes a thesis on Romans 8. As liberal as the school has gotten far from religion, they still the attorneys to be has to write a thesis on Romans 8. Paul's masterpiece. Read that for me, Pastor. 38 and 39. King James.
All right. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 38 from the King James. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, from the Greek?
From the Greek text, Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I have been persuaded that not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things coming, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature other shall be will be able us to separate from the love of God in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us.
Nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing. Stop all this mess about you can lose your salvation. First of all, if you lose it, you had to find it. And if you had to find it, it wasn't worth keeping if you lost it. Amen? But when God saves, He saves forever. This is not a work in progress. This is something that God did before the foundation of the world. He saved us before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, I don't think we read that mess. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse We didn't let's corroborate that. Ephesians chapter 1. What verse 4, please, Pastor? King James.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 from the King James. According as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, it reads that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Okay, from the Greek, please.
From the Greek text, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 1, rather, verse 4. As he chose us in him before the foundation world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love.
In him. Not in him. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. The only way that you can lose your salvation is that Christ can't keep you, and he's not here. But Christ saved us in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. What should we be doing now? We got this grace message. Well, we should be, first of all, looking for our blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. And we really need to realize that this world is not our home. Amen. We're ambassadors for Christ. Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Mm-hmm. We're here on a journey that God has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Wow. And we walk through this world, but we're not of this world. Mm-hmm. This world is not our home. Don't fall in love with it because you're going to leave it. Mm-hmm. Amen? Don't fall in love with this world. It is destined for you to leave it. So we need to know that. The Bible says, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Your new love is Christ and everything about him, not this world down here. This world is fickle at best. They love you for a second, and then they hate you the next minute. But God loves us forever, and he loves us what? He gives us the love, and it's not the kind of love where it loses it. He loves you always, throughout all eternity. Amen. Then the Bible lets us know that we ought to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what God wants us to do. We are a new man in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old, O-L-D, things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Stop walking in this old wicked world like this is your home. You're a new man in Christ. That's what I tell those boys at the youth home when I go down there. You are become a new man in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then we need to realize, it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, these are the things that we ought to be thinking about. The Bible says, think on these things. But we ought to be thinking about this. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, we brought nothing into this world and we carry nothing out. You came here with nothing, you leave with nothing. I don't care how much money you got. I told the boys at the youth home, there's no difference between Bill Gates dead there, a homeless person dead, or the Pope dead. They're all the dead. You come here to die. Hello? You come here to die. You didn't come here to stay. You're on a journey. Anybody who's on a journey knows it has to end sooner or later. Then we have to realize that godliness with content is great gain. If we got Jesus, we don't need anything else. Help me, Lord. Amen. Then, if we have food and raiment, we ought to be content. And then we need to realize that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed to man once to die. You're not coming back again. Not in this life. It is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If you hear about 100 years, that's 1,200 months. That's it. That's a very, very brief time. We think in terms of we don't know anything. Ooh, she lived a long time. That's nothing. That's not even a microspot in the. That's like taking one teaspoon and throwing it into the ocean. Not even that. I mean, that's such a little small amount of time. But to be with Christ throughout all eternity, that's the, like Sister said there in Sunday school class, think outside the box. Think outside the box. This life is nothing for you. It's just we're here on a mission. Don't fall in love with this place. We need to, everybody has a different course. Paul paid dearly for this course. And I got to read this before I leave, sit down. I got to have Pastor read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21. Those who live godly shall suffer persecution. Paul paid for this message. He thought that he was going one way, but God sent him another. But you know what? Before he reads that, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, when he was caught up to the third heaven. I think after Paul saw that, I don't think it mattered anymore. Whatever he saw, and I'm in agreement with the pastor, doesn't say that, but I believe he saw the body of Christ. And after that, it didn't mean much to him anymore. I think that Paul got the best sleep of his life that night before Nero's chopping block. I think he slept just as good because it didn't matter anymore. And that's the state that we ought to be moving to. That this life is going to come to an end one day. And then, you know, our kids have got to go on, our grandkids got to go on, but I'm leaving here. I'm not going to be here forever. Nobody knows how much I love my grandkids and my kids and everything. I tried to be the best dad that I could be. But you know something? It's all going to come to an end one day. And you know what? I can lay, and my wife will tell you, I lay down and go to sleep at night, and you know something? I don't even worry about it because you know what? I've done the best that I could do. And that's all you can do. In Christ. And let me know. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want to put any false claims on myself. It's through Christ. Everything is through Christ. And we're going to go here. I want you to see what Paul paid for this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 21 through 33. I want to read that from the King James Version because of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to go with it. Watch this. I want you to follow what he's going to read there. 11. Grace caused Paul, let's see, 11. Said I say 11, 21 through 33. Okay, Pastor, read that for me, please.
Beginning in verse 21 in the King James, 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Wait, okay. I'm in the wrong spot. I'm sorry. In 1 Corinthians. Okay, Pastor, I'm ready. 21 through 33.
2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Right.
Verses 21, beginning with verse 21. I speak as concerning reports, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, in parentheses, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also.
That's another message. Go ahead.
Are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So I. Are they ministers of Christ? Again, in parenthesis, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, more above measure, in prison, more frequent, in death, off. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one.
Look at that. Go ahead.
Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings, often in hunger and thirst, and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Beside those things, that without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I bear not? If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not.
Amen. So what we see there is that it cost Paul dearly, but he tells him that in 12 and 9, he tells him that my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength has made you perfect in weakness. So the grace of God carried Paul through, and the grace of God will carry you through. We need to implement these planned things that the grace message leaves for us. For all of these things have been given to us to walk in. The only thing that will free you from sin from your total depravity is the salvation given to you by Jesus Christ. It's not a work in progress. It's a completed work from eternity. With this will help you to live your life fuller in Christ once you really understand this. And don't look at things when they happen and say, oh my God, what's happening? I like what Deacon Gavin said. And Pastor said, what is the purpose for this happening that can make me a better saint? What will it do to strengthen me? When things go bad or wrong, you think, what is the purpose for God giving me this at this time? And when we do this, then we can stop complaining and finish our course. God bless you.
God, praise.